I think it's a different challenge for, you know, maybe guys that haven't had a chance to compete in the tournament before. You know, with us, we've only got two that have competed in it. But then when you get down to actually playing, not to have that, feel that extra pressure or to tense up. But certainly we're just doing all we can to make sure our guys are as loose as they can be and understand it should be a reward to play in the tournament and to go have fun.
All right, Bill Self again talking about KU's matchup against Northeastern. It'll be again around 3 o'clock today, and we should point out that we will not have KU basketball on the radio, and that we've been consistent with this for many years, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. The NCAA charges the same amount for us as a small-town affiliate, the same amount of money as Kansas City. And our rates are, well, let's just put it this way. Kansas City's advertising rates are, in some cases, 100 times more than ours. They can sell one spot, and they can pay for the broadcast. It would take us quite a few spots and sponsors just to get back to breaking even on it. This is our philosophy. We're not opposed to paying for it, but we don't think it's a fair practice. When we're being charged the same as Kansas City, it should be based off of the rates and so forth and so on, and that's not how the NCAA does it. On top of that, the NCAA is making billions of dollars with a B, for their TV coverage and now all the streaming and everything else. And so, and then they want to dig into the well a little bit deeper, and they want to charge the affiliates a certain amount per game, not for the tournament, per game. And we've been very consistent. We cover them all year long. We have Brian on every week to talk about the Jayhawks. And if we could, you know, financially, if it makes sense for us to do it, we would. But we're not also going to wear out our advertisers who have already sponsored KU basketball throughout the year, which that, too, just kind of helps us get by from that standpoint. You know, it's just not smart business sense for us to pay the same amount that Kansas City is. It is also a basis of principle as well. And we're not the only small market station that has decided to do that. But the NCAA doesn't care. They want their money, so we choose to not give them the money because we think they have enough and so forth and so on, and it would mean more for us to keep it. And then there's probably even less people listening on the radio when we get the NCAA tournament, to be quite honest, because now you're on TV, you got all the streaming stuff, and because, you know, the big TV deal they have with CBS, True TV, TNT, TBS, and all that. So it won't be on the radio, but you can watch it on your streaming devices, you can watch it on TV, so forth and so on, but it will not be on Z96.3 Lake. And if you have a problem with that or don't like it, then contact the NCAA. Okay? All right. So let's talk about the Jayhawks. Listen, I'm concerned about this game. If you're a Jayhawk fan, I think you should be concerned about this game. I'm not saying they're going to lose, but I would not be surprised if they do lose. Listen to, and this is what Brian referred to just a little while ago, one of the players, Sean Osius, of Northeastern. Do these guys sound scared?
We're not looking at the name on the front of the jersey. At the end of the day, you tie your shoes the same way we do. You put on the jersey the same way we do. We're going to make sure that we're prepared to play, and we don't care who we play. And it just happened to be Kansas, and hopefully we'll be able to execute tomorrow and put up a good game plan and just be ready to play.
That doesn't sound like a player that's worried about Kansas. It's like, dude, they get the same respect that we should be getting. We're a basketball team. We put our shoes on one shoe at a time. Bill Cohen is the head coach of Northeastern, and here are his thoughts.
Whenever you're in a kind of one-and-done type of tournament, you have to play with urgency. You have to play with maximum and multiple efforts. But almost most importantly, you have to play loose and be true to your DNA, who you are. And I think, you know, if you get swept up in the enormity of the moment, that's when you kind of don't play your best basketball.
One of the things I think that's overlooked, and when it's a 1 versus 16, a 2 versus a 15, I think it doesn't really matter because the 1s and the 2s are just clearly much better than the 16s and the 15s. Once you get to 3s versus 14s, and then especially 4 seeds versus 13s and 5s versus 12s, think about this for a second. Northeastern has already been playing Survive and Advance for a week. They're used to that pressure of their season being on the line. Kansas is not. Kansas is known. Well, Kansas knows day one, first day of practice, they're going to the tournament. So Kansas has not been in a situation like, well, they had to win to make the Big 12 tournament championship. Yeah, but they know if they lose, they can rest up and get ready for the tournament. The season's not over. Has Kansas played with pressure? Yeah, they play with pressure, get everybody's best shot, the pressure of winning a 15th straight title in the Big 12, which didn't happen. But having said all that, they know that even if they didn't win their 15th in a row, we still are going to go to the NCAA tournament. I think that's lost on some people and some experts, because when you've already, especially in this situation, because KU is young, They will probably start four freshmen again today, although Coach Self's talking about maybe changing his lineup. I think he might start Garrett and McCormick comes off the bench. But Kansas doesn't have much experience in the tournament with the players they have. Lightfoot and Garrett are the only ones that have experience, and they usually come off the bench. Dedrick Lawson, this is his first time in the tournament. You've got all the freshmen. And you heard Brian mention it, the voice of Jayhawks, just a little bit ago, that Northeastern doesn't have any freshmen. So Northeastern has more experience than Kansas in regards to overall experience. Now, Northeastern doesn't have, like, a whole bunch of NCAA tournament experience, of course, but they've had experience for a week now knowing they had to win their tournament to make it in. They knew they weren't getting an at-large, and they were the favorite to win the Colonial all year long, their preseason number one pick. They lost to Hofstra by a game, but then beat Hofstra in the conference tournament championship to punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament as a 13 seed. They've been there, done that. They've already started the NCAA tournament, and that was three games ago, whereas Kansas, they're going to Salt Lake City. They're not going to have a lot of fans, I don't think, there, which is not a big deal because we know that they had a lot of fans at Sprint Center, and that didn't seem to matter, although they have been undefeated at home. And Bill Self said in his comment the other day, he goes, well, you got to just treat this as a like a road game going to Salt Lake City. I'm like, should you really be saying that? You should be telling your kids this is a neutral game because Kansas doesn't win on the road this year very well. So I think there's so many reasons why people would pick KU to be upset today, and I totally get it. I really do, and I have been waffling all week long about picking Northeastern to pull off the upset. I do think the first 5 to 10 minutes of this game is going to decide everything. I agree with Brian. If Northeastern comes out and they hit three or four threes in the first 5-6 minutes and Kansas is down, well, just look at last year. One seed, they were down double digits to Penn. If they do that in this game, I think Kansas is toast because of the inexperience, and they're going to start freaking out and feeling the pressure. Whereas if they jump out to a 10 or 12-point lead, they might relax a little bit in a good way and then go ahead and hold them off. I don't think Kansas is winning this game by 20 or more points.
No.
I think it's going to – the line is fairly – I don't know what the official line is from Vegas, but it's been tighter and tighter, just like K-State and UC Irvine, which we'll talk more about that game coming up tomorrow on the sports ticket since they play tomorrow. Around 1 o'clock our time, but I think there are many ingredients here that would point in the direction of Kansas very well could get upset in the first round of this tournament, and then all the people whining and complaining and bellyaching about Kansas being in Kansas City will suddenly just disappear and go away. I have Kansas winning this game in my bracket. I am not very confident in that. And then I have them losing in the second round to New Mexico State. That's my bracket. I got them losing to New Mexico State in a rematch of a game that New Mexico State should have won back in December. And if Kansas plays Auburn, I'd be worried about Auburn too, but I just don't see Kansas getting to Kansas City. I don't. And if they do, I just see no way how they're going to beat North Carolina unless Bill Self pulls a rabbit out of his hat and just absolutely, totally outcoaches Roy Williams. And even then, I don't think Kansas can win that game. I just don't see KU making a deep run in this tournament. And how can you? It's not very often that you start four freshmen, unless you're Kentucky, of course. Oh, or maybe Duke. You start four freshmen, and you're going to make a deep run in the tournament. It just doesn't happen in the NCAA tournament. So the odds are against Kansas, and they could easily go down today.
I agree with everything you said there. I pencil in Kansas because I feel like their
notice
coach,
what he said. Their, pencil.
Yeah, I pencil in Kansas because I feel like their coach has an advantage here, and I think their team's probably better. So if they can, you know, muster it up here for this first game and settle in a little bit and not let that three-point barrage hit them early or something like that, get down 13-4 or something like that early just because they're cannon threes and you can't stop them. Because KU hasn't responded well a lot to getting down double digits.
No.
Their first half, second half, whatever it is. You know, they're just not built like they have been in the past to withstand a run by some team and then just like, oh, whatever, we'll make a comeback, we're fine.
Like every team that Bill Self's coached always, when they get down 10, 15, 20, they always make a run.
Yeah.
This team has hardly ever done that.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like once this team, like you'll look at games that they lose on the road and once a team takes the lead,
they're toast.
It's like, they hardly ever come back from it.
Yeah.
Now there's some teams that aren't as good at that they will do that, but I just think they can't get down 10 early.
I agree.
So if they can withstand that barrage, I think they're fine. If they're down 3 early and it's going back and forth, I like their chances in a close game to be able to finish it out at the end, because that's what they, even this year, have done at times. You know, when they're close games and, and they need to find something at the end to do, TCU would be a good example of that on the road. You know, you got examples where if it's tight down the wire, I think KU's got a better chance.
Well, and Bill Self is unbelievable in close games, his record.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's advantage Kansas in a tight game with Bill Self as your coach. Although I will say, when you're the favorite,
it's different.
It's a little different.
Yeah, yeah. But this team's different too. So, like, you're not. I don't feel like the pressure of being a favorite is quite on them like it has been in the past.
I agree with you.
So I think that might help them a little bit in that regard too. Is like, you know, there's people that maybe don't even expect us to win this game. So there's a little pressure that's taken off, I think, there because of the fact that they didn't win a Big 12 championship the year this year. They don't have that. You know,
the expectations aren't as high.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what Brian said earlier. Like, if they get Sweet 16, that'd be just a you know, everybody be fat and happy.
I mean, I'm putting in these brackets in our contest, and I have maybe one so far that's got KU going to the Elite Eight. Oh, and a lot of times,
one of my kids have
you have a ton of them that have KU in the championship and winning it.
Right. Well,
you know, at least to the Final Four a lot of times. And there's only one, and I haven't got to your son, so that's probably two. But
two.
You know that. And, you know, we're over 40 of them right now that I've put in. So.
Isn't that something? Well, and you think about it, Kansas' number one preseason team in America, and they had Udoka in their first I don't think Udoka played in that game. I can't remember. Arizona State, I think he missed that game. But anyway, Arizona State was the first team to beat Kansas. Remember, they were 9-0. Yep. Everything was going fairly good, although they had some closer games. Speaking of Arizona State, last night they win. Bobby Hurley beats Chris Mullen. I did not know Mitch Richmond was an assistant coach at St. John's until last night. Did you know that?
Mitch Richmond?
Yeah,
I did not know that. Nope.
All of a sudden, I see him like, oh, yeah, there he is.
Yep.
I feel old. Chris Mullen, I watched him play for St. John's when I was young. He was a great NBA player. Mitch Richmond, of course, fantastic at K-State. Great NBA player. He's part of TMC. That was Tim Hardaway and Mullen and Richmond. That was always good stuff. They were fun to watch, the Warriors at that time. And then there's Bobby Hurley, who I can't stand still. And I couldn't stand then playing for Duke. And these guys got gray hair, or they don't look so great, and so forth and so on. And I'm like, wow, I'm old. Because those are guys I grew up watching when they were young, and that means I'm also got gray hair and I'm old. That and Ferris Bueller was made 33 years ago, and Matthew Broderick is 57 today, and he played the young teenager Ferris Bueller. That was 33 years ago, man, Ferris Bueller. So I'm feeling a little bit old. But I will say it wasn't quite as long ago. Arizona State knocked off Kansas for their first loss of the year at Arizona State. Arizona State barely got into the tournament, one of just three Pac-12 teams to make it, but they do get a tournament win last night over St. John's.
Arizona State was here in Dayton a year ago and experienced defeat. They lost to Syracuse, a team that made it all the way to the Sweet 16. Bobby Hurley hopes this team could use the first four as a springboard. They knock off St. John's 74-65.
I'm going to say right now, Jay Billis said it, other people have said it, that the bubble was really, you can polish a cow pie all you want, but it's still a cow pie. Last night's game proved that. If you watched Arizona State and St. John's, neither team deserved to be in the tournament.
No.
Neither team deserved to be in the tournament, and neither team deserved to win. I mean, St. John's was god-awful. And Arizona State just kept turning the ball over, and they were making mistakes, and St. John's didn't run any kind of offense. And I'm like, these are two former unbelievable players that are the head coaches, and they just seem to be discombobulated offensively. And I know Arizona State's a young team. It was hard to watch that game.
It felt like, you know, yesterday we were talking about, you know, these 11 games are more fun to watch. 16 games, and I'm like, I started watching that. And at the beginning, it felt like I was watching a 16 game, like a 16, like they're making mistakes that, and they're missing shots and bunnies that is, oh my goodness, how are these teams here?
Oh, it was brutal.
And and St. John's did not look good most of the game.
So glad I picked a guy from St. John's to be on my draft team. He scored 25, at least he got that. So here's the games today. Here's your rundown. The first game, and this is funny because Brian Haney was talking about how the committee is a little bit slick and how they have matchups. When you have Minnesota and Rick Pitino's son coaching against Louisville, and Rick Pitino's old team, Louisville ran him out of town, of course, with everything that happened, and probably rightfully so. Interesting, that just happens to be a 10-7 matchup. That's the first game today on CBS at 11:15. Get your brackets to us. Email your brackets, KDNSKZDY, at nckcn.com by 11 o'clock this morning. You still have an hour, about 15 minutes, or you can fax us, or the brackets you fill out, 545-3191, or drop them off here at the station. 11 a.m. is the deadline. So Minnesota-Louisville, 11:15 today on CBS. So let's go through these. Minnesota-Louisville, who you got, Dusty?
Louisville.
I've got Louisville as well, I do believe. Yes, I do. Louisville's blown a lot of games this year, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yale versus LSU, that's at 11:40 this morning on True TV. And that's my big upset pick. I really like this pick. LSU's got a coach that's not there because he's been suspended by LSU. They will probably vacate. I think in about a few years, they'll be vacating their SEC championship. And they'll be vacating their wins in their NCAA tournament appearance because of how they went about recruiting Javonte Smart, who's an outstanding player who's still playing for LSU. And I think it's only appropriate if LSU would lose first round. And I like watching them. They're a good team. I've watched them a few times. I think they're underrated. But in this matchup against Yale, with the distractions LSU's dealing with, and their head coach is not with them for the tournament, which is very unique and weird. Although you do remember Steve Fisher back in 89 took over for Bill Frieder at Michigan, and all he did was win a national championship.
Yeah.
Of course, he had, you know, some guys that are pretty good like Glenn Rice and others. But I'm taking Yale. I'm taking the Ivy League. I've got Yale a 14 over 3 LSU. That's my big, huge upset pick, and I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I got LSU.
Okay. New Mexico State in Auburn. That's at 12:30 today at TNT from Salt Lake City. That's the game before Kansas. That's another upset. I didn't pick a lot of upsets, but it just happens that my first two upsets are early in this tournament. So I can go. This is my plan. I knew what the schedule would be like, and I picked a couple early upsets. Then I'll know whether or not I can just rip up my bracket after about 2 hours today.
Mm-hmm.
I can just save myself a lot of aggravation and time. I saw somebody pick a picture of their bracket, post on social media, and said, last time I will look at a clean bracket. That's so true. So true. I saw somebody else fill out a bracket that sent it in, and all they put was Zion in the middle. That was it. Nothing else was filled out. I'm like, yeah, well, according to ESPN, he is the national champion. New Mexico State, Auburn. Listen, I watched Auburn play in the SEC tournament. I watched their semifinal against, I forgot who they played now. Goodness gracious, forgot. Oh, Florida. And they shoot 35 to 43 is a game. They couldn't hit a three early in the game. They're down 10. Then they got hot, made four threes in a row. It was a brand new ball game. They beat Florida. Florida made the tournament. Then they turn around and they play Tennessee the very next day. But Tennessee came off of just an unbelievable. I mean, it was a Final Four caliber game. Tennessee and Kentucky in the semifinals SEC tournament, and Auburn ended up, and they got helped out, of course, because Florida beat the number one seed LSU. So then Auburn got Florida in the semis, and then Florida or Auburn then caught Tennessee, who I think was on an emotional high, and then just came down to earth the very next day, and Auburn won by 20. A lot of people jump on these bandwagons of, well, they won their tournament, they're red hot going into the tourney. Don't get caught up in that. Now, having said this, watch Auburn make the Final Four. I have Auburn losing first round, and I feel really good about that. New Mexico State, I think, is underseeded at 12, and Auburn is a team that they live by the three. And if they are missing threes, they are going to be out in a hurry. Now, if they're hitting those threes, they could roll New Mexico State. I just think Auburn's had too good of a run. They caught a break in the SEC tournament, two breaks. They caught the break by the one seed losing. They caught another break with Tennessee having to just absolutely give it all they had the night before against Kentucky, and then they played at noon the next day in the SEC tournament championship game. So I don't think Auburn's all that. So I'm taking Mexico State.
I'm not going to sit here and say I think Auburn's all that, but I'm going to pick them to win a very tight one.
Dusty with all the chalk. How boring. Okay,
not,
so
not
that's
quite. We haven't made it very far yet.
All right, we've only gone through three games, or 16 games today, by the way. Okay, Vermont and Florida State, that's at 1 o'clock today on TBS. You know, that's one I think could easily be an upset. I think Vermont's a really good team. KU beat them earlier this year. Anthony Lamb's a fantastic player. Florida State's got a lot of depth. They got size. I went ahead and picked Florida State to win that game.
Same.
Okay, so we got Florida State. We finally agree. Bradley versus Michigan State. Now, the last time Michigan State was a 2, I do believe they lost to a 15. That was East Tennessee State a couple years ago. Michigan State's whining and crying and bellyaching because they were put with Duke in the East, and it's a fair argument. Michigan got the West as a 2 seed. Michigan State beat Michigan 3 times. Won the conference tournament, won the conference regular season, has the most quadrant one wins of anybody in the country, and Michigan State's reward was, hey, congrats, you get to go play Duke, possibly, in the Elite Eight, the best overall number one, and Michigan State might be the best overall two. I think it should have been Michigan in the East, and it should have been Michigan State in the West. Having said that, when you get all distracted and you whine about everything, I think then all of a sudden you're vulnerable to being upset. Having said that, I'm still taking Michigan State in this one over Bradley, but I think that game's going to be pretty competitive.
I agree with everything. I pick Michigan State, too.
All right, Belmont and Maryland. A lot of people picking Belmont to beat Maryland. I'll say it. I pick Maryland in my bracket. I will say that I'm going to pick Belmont on the show. I am. I'm picking Belmont on the show. Maryland is a younger team. Maryland doesn't seem to do well in the tournament. Belmont, I really was impressed, and the Windler kid did not have a great game offensively, and they still won against Temple. I don't think Maryland's a lot better than Temple, myself. I'll take Belmont, even though my bracket has Maryland.
I got Belmont going to the Sweet 16. There's mine.
Which a lot of people have jumped on that Belmont.
Yes, I got Belmont winning, obviously, then.
Northeastern and Kansas at 3 o'clock today on TNT. I've got KU, but I'm not feeling super great about it, but I think KU will find a way. I really badly want to pick the upset to look smart if Northeastern does win. I'm going to hedge my bet, and I'm going to say KU loses second round. So I'm going to have them beating Northeastern. But it all comes down to, as we just talked about, early in the game, Kansas gets off to a good start, good sign. If they get down early, you better upset alert, set off the buzzer.
Yes, and, you know, we've talked about that game already, and I agree with everything you said. I'm picking KU as well.
Okay, Murray State and Marquette today at 3:30 on TBS. This is an intriguing game. I could go either way on this one. Murray State has an outstanding point guard. That's going to be a top five NBA pick. Marcus Howard is a terrific point guard and scorer for Marquette. It could be a lot of points in this game. Marquette stumbled down the stretch. I've got Marquette winning, but I do not feel comfortable with it. But I think I picked them because I have other upsets, so I'm going Marquette.
I had to pick a 5-12 in my bracket, and Murray State's the one I picked.
Murray State's the one you pick. Yeah. Florida and Nevada, that's at 5:50 later today on TNT. I've got Nevada in that one. Florida doesn't really impress me much, but Nevada struggled late in the year as well. But Nevada's, their average age is 23. They're the oldest team in the tournament, and I think they got to the Sweet 16 last year. They've got a good team. I'm going to take Nevada over Florida.
I got Nevada.
Okay, Abilene Christian, Kentucky, 6:10 tonight on CBS. Let's just move on. Kentucky?
Yes.
Okay. St. Mary's Villanova at 6:20 tonight on TBS. A lot of people, not a lot, but I've seen some people, a handful, Riley's one of those people and others, that have thinking Villanova is just going to make a run and get hot again. I have to ask all these people that are picking Villanova, how much have you watched Villanova play this year? Because I've watched a lot of basketball this year. I have watched 3 or 4 Villanova games. I don't count the one at Kansas because, you know, it was a revenge game for Kansas, and it was in Lawrence at Allen Fieldhouse. But I watch Villanova in the Big East. They are a team that still relies on the three. They don't have nearly as many weapons offensively. And I think a lot of people are caught up in, well, it's Villanova. Kind of like same thing. Well, it's Kansas. They're going to play in Kansas City. And they haven't even watched Kansas play much this year. And they don't realize Kansas isn't what they once were. Villanova's not anything close to what they were last year. Villanova's been really up and down. Can they get hot? Oh, absolutely. They can get hot and make a run. No question about it. But I just don't think Villanova has the horsepower. And everybody talks and thinks about Villanova a couple championships here recently. But before they won the first championship, Jay Wright was on the hot seat because Villanova kept losing in the first or second round. It'd be a 1 or 2 seed and get upset. I'm going to take Villanova in this game over St. Mary's. But I don't have Villanova. I got Villanova to the Sweet 16 winning 2 games. I don't think they'll get by Tennessee. So I've got Nova winning tonight.
Nova.
Okay. Fairleigh Dickinson, Gonzaga, 6:27 tonight. Will we see the second 16 beat a 1?
I'm going to say no.
No? Okay, Gonzaga wins that one. That's on True TV. Montana versus Michigan. My 5-year-old went with Montana. I cringed when he said that. Not because I think he is wrong. Well, I do think he's wrong. But that would blow up my bracket, the Smithereens. I have Michigan in the Final Four. So he picked Montana. 15 over a 2. It's only happened 8 times, I believe, in the history of the tournament. I'll take Michigan. I like them in that bracket.
Yeah, I got Michigan in the championship, so I'm also hoping that doesn't happen.
I've got Michigan. 8:20 tonight on TNT. Seton Hall and Wofford, that one's a tough one for me. Wofford was right there with Kansas in the final 10 minutes. Kansas blew them out in Lawrence earlier in the year. Wofford, a team that relies on the three-point shot. I always worry about a team that relies on the three-point shot, although Villanova did, and it worked out pretty well, and they won the national championship. Wofford, Seton Hall. Seton Hall seems like they always disappoint me when they make the tournament. They let me down. So I'm just sore at Seton Hall. I'm taking Wofford.
I picked Seton Hall, but I'm the same. It feels like I think I picked them last year, and they wasn't even close, I don't think.
Nope. They got blown out, if I remember right. Old Dominion, Purdue. Some people really like Purdue. I'm not sold on Purdue. They have a point guard that's a ball hog that is a little bit selfish. Old Dominion, I could see Purdue losing. Purdue always seems to lose early or almost lose in the first round. It's never easy. That's on TBS 850 tonight. I'll pick Purdue to win, but I have them going out to Nova in the second round.
Yeah, same. I got a cousin that's a cheerleader at Old Dominion, so I should probably pick Old Dominion. But
you're going to go with Purdue?
Yeah, I went with Purdue.
All right, and then the final game tonight, 8:57 on True TV from Salt Lake City. It's Baylor versus Syracuse. I can still change my bracket. Because here's the thing. I've got Syracuse in the Elite Eight. Syracuse always seems to tick me off because I don't like them, and then they go deeper in the tournament. But Frank Howard has been suspended for the game today against Baylor, and they've got Tyus Battle, who's coming off a back injury. He's their top scorer. He missed the whole ACC tournament. He's back. You know, this is a game Baylor should win, but it's Scott Drew. Scott Drew, I mean, it's all lined up for Baylor to win. Syracuse suspended one of their best players. Another guy's hurt. But I'll stick with Syracuse in this game tonight. I had them beating Gonzaga in the second round, but now I don't feel good about that at all with what's happening, although Frank Howard might be back, and he's just a one-game suspension. But I'll take Syracuse, even though with everything going on with Syracuse right now, Baylor should know how to handle his own. Baylor will find a way to lose because of Scott Drew. So I'm going to say Syracuse.
That's how I felt when you picked the Yale upset this year. I said that when Yale played Baylor in the first round of some years back. I was
Yale
like,
won.
Yale's smarter than Scott Drew. I'm picking Yale.
And they won.
And they did. This time I'm picking Baylor, though.
All right. We'll go through each game tomorrow. Of course, K-State plays at 1 o'clock tomorrow against UC Irvine. K-State's only a 4.5-point favorite last I checked there, so a lot of people think that UC Irvine has a great chance to pull off an upset there. Let me ask you, what's the deepest you have a Big 12 team going in your bracket?
16, I think.
I got Texas Tech in the Sweet 16. I've got every other Big 12 team out in the second round.
I got Tech, State. KU, and Iowa State all in the Sweet 16, but nobody Sweet going 16. Further than that.
I've got Kansas out second round, Iowa State out second round. I've got K-State out second round, although I think of those, K-State's got the best chance to be in the Sweet 16 of those three.
But I guess Tech's, I got K-State in the Sweet 16, too.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I've got Tech.
I always take K-State a game further than I think they're going to go. So that's
well, that's what I did with KU.
Yeah.
I got them out in the second round, a game further than I think. Oh, my. Okay, so that's the NCAA tournament in the rundown for today. So be glued to your phone and get nothing done at work at all. Work productivity goes to an all-time new historical low today. TBS, CBS, TNT, True TV, those are your four TV channels.
Get that
to
boss
watch.
Button ready, too.
Yeah, the boss button. I like that. I like that. All right, that's the NCAA tournament preview. Now, a couple other things. I talked with Brian Haney about this, the unique sport. You see the male Russian slapping championships?
I didn't.
Oh, my Lord. Just pull it up. It's hilarious. Guy with a beard who's, you know, way, way overweight. And they just, it's just, have you ever seen the arm wrestling competitions where they stand across from one another and they have a platform, put their elbow down, and then they go to work on the arm wrestling? This is the exact same thing, okay? Except they slap each other. So the guy with the beard, he gets a slap. Well, it's funny, he was going up against a guy in a white t-shirt, and he was a bigger guy too, and they're both Russian, of course. So, and there's a crowd that's watching. It's the male slapping championship. Seriously, I cannot make this stuff up. It's true, ladies and gentlemen. So the guy in the white shirt, he gets the first crack at it, and he, you know, swings as hard as he can with a slap. He gets a slap. They take turns slapping each other until one, you know, no moss. He takes a big slap, and it just, like, hardly phases the guy with the beard. I'm like, oh, God, this poor guy. This guy in the white shirt's going down, and I hadn't even seen the video yet. So the guy with a shirt, and you see his gut hanging out, kind of, his love handles, which I'm going that route with all the ice cream I eat lately and other things. So anyway, the guy with the beard, he just rears back, and you can't, like, run up and slap him. You got to just be both feet on the floor, and then you just, you know, you turn and you what's the word I'm looking for? Rotate,
yep.
And then just absolutely unload with open-faced slap. He just slapped the crud out of this guy in the white shirt, and he was shaking for a minute, but barely stood up. So it's still on.
Yeah.
So then the guy in the white shirt gets another shot at the guy in the beard, takes a shot. Yeah, that didn't faze him. And I'm like, oh, God, this guy's going down. Next swing knocked him out with an open-handed slap to the face, to the cheek, knocked the guy out. They went and grabbed smelling salts up to the guy,
man.
Trying to get him. Yeah, yeah. Go check it out.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that for sure.
Man, oh, man. You don't have to be in great physical shape, but if you can slap hard, that might be your sport. I know a lot of ladies can slap hard. Okay, so moving on.
Moving on. We don't implicate anyone in this
My wife, I don't know about my wife has ever slapped me that hard. I don't remember. Well, there's the problem. She must have slapped me pretty hard. You know, it's funny. I was out. We had a good time. And next thing I know, I woke up in bed and I had this big bruise on the side of my face. It's kind of looking like the form of a 2x4.
Not so much here.
Yeah, not
here,
so much here.
But right here.
That kind of looks like the wedding ring that my wife wears on my face. Oh, okay. Honey, what happened last night? You don't remember? No, I don't. Well, then we'll leave it at that. Last thing we'll end with here, a couple of things. Patrick Mahomes has agreed to a deal with Oakley. With glasses, sunglasses, all that stuff. So he's going to make a lot of money endorsements there and other endorsements, of course.
Yes.
He's what? Is he an endorser of one of the ketchups, too?
Hunts,
yeah. So the Chiefs can just go ahead and not have to worry about paying a big deal. He's going to make all his money endorsements. Yeah, Max Kellerman was asked. I'm not a big Max Kellerman fan, although I like him better than Stephen A. Smith. And was asked after Mike Trout got $430 million here the other day for the Angels, what athlete in sports deserves the richest contract in professional sports history? Now that Trout has the biggest, and I immediately thought Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And that's what he said. And he made all great points. He's 23, MVP of the league. He's the most electric quarterback in the league, maybe the most electric player. If not for an interception overturned due to a penalty, would have been in the Super Bowl. And this was his first year as a starter. I mean, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
And he says Patrick Mahomes should be the highest paid athlete in sports because what's the biggest, most popular sport? NFL. What's the most profile person in NFL? It's your Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, I'm telling you, $35 to $40 million a year.
Yeah.
It's not far-fetched.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Now, one last thing with the Chiefs. We've talked about this a little bit. The draft, NFL draft, is April 25th through the 27th. That's only about a month from now. And the Chiefs are in a difficult spot, in my opinion, because of the Tyreek Hill situation. If you don't know what's happened, there have been some reports. There actually were people that went and checked out things, and now they're talking about allegedly maybe that Tyreek Hill broke his 3-year-old son's arm. We don't know that for sure. There have been no charges, by the way, that have been filed against Tyreek Hill. His fiance contacted, social services, I believe. And so this is an investigation. And the problem you have here is you don't know when this thing is going to be figured out.
Yeah.
Because it can take some time. And I don't know if the Chiefs are really fully going to know what the situation with Tyreek Hill is by the time the draft. And you need to know probably even sooner than that in regards to free agency. And Jordy Nelson's out there. I can see the Chiefs talking to some of these receivers saying, listen, whatever you do, go take your visits, but don't sign with anybody until we can figure out what's going on with Tyreek, because we really could use you. The only thing is, if you're a receiver, you don't want to be, okay, the Patriots, the Titans, they go grab somebody, and then all of a sudden Tyreek Hill, okay, he's cleared, everything's good, and then you're sitting here going, wait a minute, I waited for you, and now I don't have a job.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think Jordy Nelson and guys like that can think that way. But I think he would look great, Jordy Nelson, in a Chiefs uniform. And I think the Chiefs should get Jordy Nelson, whether Tyreek Hill's going to be back or not. That's my opinion.
I mean, with Conley gone, you're not hurting anything by going and getting another receiver.
The Chiefs have $23 million in cap space now. A ton of room after trading Dee Ford, letting go of Houston and Barry. They've got all kinds of money to maybe go get. Maybe make a trade for Marcus Lawrence, who is not happy in Dallas, on a franchise tag. Would that be a heck of a move by the Chiefs? You bring him into town, a guy in his prime. Or there's Jadeveon Clowney, who's had injury problems with the Texans. There's talk the Chiefs might trade and get him. The Chiefs have some assets in regards to draft picks, and they certainly have money now where they can make a deal and maybe even sign a guy long-term in a trade. Although they do want to work out extensions with Chris Jones, and, well, the plan was Tyreek Hill. Listen, to me, if I'm running the Chiefs, and I'm not, but if I was, I would let this play out a little bit. I'm going to assume that Tyreek Hill is innocent until proven guilty, because that's the way it should be. But I do think that you automatically are like extensions out of the question right now. To me, you let him play out this year and you franchise tag him at worst.
Yeah.
Now, if he goes through this year and everything's great and you feel confident in his character, and then you want to give him an extension at the end of this year, okay. You put him on the tag, and then you sign him to extension, whatever you got to do. But if you have any doubts, you tag him. Or if you have any doubts, you might just let him go after this year. Or You know, Tyreek Hill could end up being found that he maybe didn't do this, but the Chiefs may have other information, and they're like, listen, we took a flyer on him in the fifth round. We had the Javon Belcher thing when he killed himself in our parking lot years back with domestic violence. We got Kareem Hunt that we cut bait with. He lied to us multiple times. That was the main reason I let him go instead of the video, they say. And then there's Tyreek Hill. And if Tyreek Hill, if the Chiefs have any news that points in the direction of Tyreek Hill has had a relapse in regards to his anger and this and that, because he had the problems, of course, obviously before he was drafted, and the Chiefs only went, took a chance on him, and the Chiefs caught heat from a lot of people in Kansas City across the country when they did that, which now people had forgotten about all that until, of course, this recent report. The Chiefs, if they're going to be consistent in the way they run their organization, then Tyreek Hill, he might not even be charged, but the Chiefs might have enough information to say, listen, we think there's going to be something that's going to happen again, and we're cutting bait with him now. So don't be shocked if Tyreek Hill, you might be sitting here going, well, if he's not charged and they find out he didn't do this, well, then Tyreek Hill is going to be a Chief and he's going to sign a long-term extension. I would say slow down. I would say there's a chance he still might not be on this team this upcoming season. Now, I hope that's not the case in regards to, as a Chiefs fan, I think he's very important to their chances to make a Super Bowl. But I will say this. I don't need a whole bunch of criminals and thugs on my favorite team to win a Super Bowl. I am kind of in between. I want my team to be successful, but I know they can be successful without Tyreek Hill because we have Patrick Mahomes. We have Travis Kelce. We have other guys on this team. Does it take away a home run threat with Tyreek Hill? Absolutely. But the Chiefs could make some moves to counter if they got to let Tyreek Hill go. The question, though, is when are they going to know that information and so they have enough time to go after a free agent or two as a wide receiver or know going into the draft, hey, we're going to have to go get – we might have to draft a receiver or two or we got to make a trade or we got to really go after this free agent. I think it's a very difficult spot for the Chiefs right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had a plan all offseason. They were executing it, and all of a sudden that thing happened.
I would think that Tyreek Hill would understand why that's going to be off the table. There's no way you can continue to talk contract extension now. It's not even possible.
No.
Because you don't know what his status is yet.
No, you don't.
And so, you know, I
thought it was crazy all along to think about $100 million of Tyreek Hill. And people are like, oh, he's worth the money. I'm like, you know, it was only 3 or 4 years ago he had a problem.
Yeah.
And plus, he's still got another year on his deal. You could tag him and then still give him an extension then. Why do you have to hurry to do it now?
Yeah.
That's what I didn't understand.
Yeah, unless they feel like he was going to leave in free agency or something.
Well,
like
you
that.
Tag him. He can't leave.
Yeah, that's
agency.
What I'm saying, though. It's like if you don't feel like you have anything long-term with him, even if you do tag him next year.
Well, you can tag him 3 years in a row.
Yeah. But then you run into the risk of them not coming and playing like a Le'Veon Bell or something like that. So I don't – maybe they don't want to – and I don't think the Chiefs want to deal with that.
Yeah.
With guys like that, they're going to – nobody wants to deal with that. No team in the NFL wants to have a guy that says, no, I'm not going to play because you tagged me 2 years in a row here, 3 years in a row here. It's off the table, but it is. It's hard to know where you need to proceed, where you need to go with that. You know, the Kareem Hunt deal, it was like, well, you're out of here in the middle of the season. We can't do anything about it. We just got to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But you have options right now with Tyreek Hill. If he's out today, mm-hmm. you now can go try to find a free agent wide receiver, Jordy Nelson or somebody that like that that can step in you have to wiggle around a little bit. He wouldn't be your number one receiver, but you'd move things around and make sure you have the right players in the right spot and you have some leeway here, but you don't want it to drag out too long either, like past the draft, because maybe there's somebody in the draft you might pick too that might change the way you're going to go about your board.
Some people believe the Chiefs, well, first of all, they got Damian Williams. Well, they knew about the stuff with Kareem Hunt before the media did about some of these issues, and that Damian Williams was insurance in case Kareem Hunt. The Chiefs already were aware of this before you, me, and anybody in the public knew about it. And there also is a theory out there is that the Chiefs hedged their bet with Tyreek Hill by signing Sammy Watkins. Because I remember I was surprised they went out and paid Sammy Watkins all that money. He's been injury prone, but he's not sending a receiver when he's healthy. And, you know, you think about it. If you lose Tyreek Hill, you still have a guy with speed in Sammy Watkins. And then you got Travis Kelce. You still got two major weapons. Of course, the question is if Watkins can stay healthy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that could be true, that the Chiefs all along were like, listen, we like Tyreek Hill, and he's been a model citizen, but we can't count on him to keep being that way. We can get another weapon for Mahomes. That helps our offense. Sure, that's great. But if we do lose Tyreek Hill, well, then we still have Sammy Watkins. They might have actually known about I mean, they might know a lot more than we do, and probably they do, as to little things that happen off the field that are maybe in signs of this was to come. And the Chiefs have already hedged their bet, and they don't need to go get another receiver because they already got Watkins.
Yeah.
That could be part of it.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're Chiefs or any,
because the Chiefs don't have to go get a receiver. No. Tyreek Hill's off this team.
No.
He's still got plenty of talent.
Yeah, and you know, you've got to have an insurance policy for people like that have those kind of demons in their past.
Issues,
you know,
yeah.
you know whether they're model citizens now or not. You've got to understand that this happened before, and we can't sit here and legitimately say that there's no way it's ever going to happen again.
Right.
So you've got to have some kind of insurance, and they've got weapons. That's not a problem. But no. He is probably the fastest weapon that the Chiefs have ever had,
that's what's
the difference here.
It opens up the whole field, and then, of course, he's a good kick returner as well. But if he, in fact, did break his three-year-old son's arm with, you know, child abuse is what that is, I think the NFL might just ban him for period. He won't be an NFL player the rest of his career. Like I said, he's innocent until proven guilty. I think what's going to happen is they're not going to find enough, and it's going to be, this thing's going to be dropped, and then the Chiefs are going to have to deal with the whole character issue again. And, you know, there's no video of this, whereas Kareem Hunt, there was the video that pushed the Chiefs' hand.
And it sounds like Tyreek Hill is cooperating and telling the Chiefs everything they need to know from that aspect. So they can't use
the
lying to us, so we're going to get rid of him thing. It doesn't sound like. Maybe that's just conjecture and it's not even true.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah,
we'll keep following it. The Chiefs need to know pretty soon. I mean, we're a month away from the draft. They really need to kind of know. For the most part, I think they need some closure on the situation sooner than later. But like we said, they still have weapons, and maybe they don't have to go do anything. Although I think Jordy Nelson's a guy to take, whether or not Hill's back or not. Let's go get Jordy. That's my opinion. I'd love to see him in a Chiefs uniform. I know you would, too. The NIT, we don't spend a lot of time on it, but since we have two schools in the area that are in it, Nebraska had 10,000 people at their game last night. Not bad for a coach that's supposedly going to be fired.
Yeah.
Usually a guy that's going to be fired, nobody shows up.
Yeah.
10 miles and then Nebraska beat Butler last night, 80-76. They'll play TCU in the second round of the NIT. And Wichita State wins last night. Greg Marshall got his, 500th win?
500th career victory.
Shockers win over Furman, 76-70. So Shockers will get Clemson next on Sunday in the NIT. All right, send in your brackets. You got about 45 minutes. KDNSKZDY at NCKCN.com is the email, the fax, 545-3191. May all your bracket dreams come true.